fighting for America.
The notion that the West is at war with Islam is an ugly lie. And all of us, regardless of our faith, have a responsibility to reject it.
Fighting for Idaho.
They're calling us what we are, Christians. And one by one, we form the strongest bond because it's a bond that is rooted in Jesus Christ. And no matter how much they try to oppose him, they will not prevail.
Fighting for you.
If you mothball some of these assets, you know, it doesn't take long for things to start to deteriorate. That's why we insist that they put another mission in here before they pull the A-10 out.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
And here we are. Welcome back. It is Monday with Millie. Hashtag Miller Monday. Kevin Miller in the Morning. 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. You can follow me on Twitter or on Facebook at Kevin Miller Show. Before we get to our topics today, I do want to remind you at 580KIDO.com, we have a couple questions to ask you. Number one, which Idaho gun bill do you support? The Idaho legislature will consider two bills backers say will give gun owners in Idaho more freedom. By the way, according to Senator Hagedorn via Facebook, his bill SB 1000 will have to be revised, so look for another revision on that. That bill has the backing of the NRA. House Bill 89 has the backing of the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. Let's quickly go to the polls, and you can vote the House bill, Mr. Bill, or the Senate bill, what's leading right now. Currently, the House bill by 92%, 4% vote for the Senate bill, and Mr. Bill a little under 3% there. So that's at 580KIDO.com. In addition to that, do you agree with Rudy's comments on President Obama? That's another poll we would love for you to take a look at. Right now we have, yes, Rudy is right. No, Obama is the best president ever. Three, Rudy better apologize to Obama. Let's take a look at the polls right now. 71% of you say that Rudy is right. Again, those polls at 580KIDO.com, plus my plan on how to save Gowan Field. Joining us now, our great friend Grinnell Scott from Fox News Radio. Grinnell, good morning.
Actually, this is Rachel Sutherland.
You know, I used to work with Grinnell all the time, and I'm excited that not that he has ever replaced you in my mind and heart, Rachel.
Oh, well, that's sweet. I can't even do a Grinnell impression, although I could work on it.
We used to call him the G-Man.
Okay.
Yeah, if you ever see him, just call him the G-Man. But
he's up in New York. I'm in Washington. But, you know, we're a tight-knit group here and happy to be on the air with you, although I am not Grinnell.
I know. You know, we never make mistakes here, good old K-Millie. But, yeah, you know, it's one of those weird things that you have Grinnell on your mind. But anyway, Rachel, let's talk a little bit about the idea of how to fight or how to label the people that we're battling, namely ISIS.
Yeah, you know, Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson was making the rounds on the Sunday shows and talking about a lot of things, but in particular this topic on what to call this group, ISIS, ISIL, Islamic State. Do we use the word Islam in talking about them? And he said that the president's decision not to talk about this as a form of radical Islam is really at the behest of the Muslim community, that he believes and the president believes that calling them Islamic would give them too much legitimacy.
Now, that's interesting. He also talked a little bit about, you know, their plans for America. Now, Rachel, I know you do a lot of work over the weekend. I'm wondering if you've seen the new Atlantic Monthly at all.
No, actually, I did not, and I was roller skating yesterday, Kevin.
Well, I'm glad you have a life because I don't. So it's interesting.
I try. I have kids.
Well, I am still a kid, but anyway, it's interesting that he says that because in the New Atlantic, and if it's in the Atlantic, whatever, it must be true. But they do a huge story on that ISIS, ISIL, whoever they are, actually is a more literal form of Islam that most of the mainstream folks have rejected, but it is Islamic in its roots. So it's interesting that he's saying one thing and you've got another report coming out saying, yes, it is, but the majority of the Muslims have rejected it. So,
well, it might be kind of, if you wanted to make a comparison, I don't know if you remember, of course, David Koresh and the whole Waco going up in flames situation. I mean, I believe that would have been somewhat Christian, right? But a typical Christian wouldn't wouldn't have viewed that as being part of their religion.
Actually, that was made on one of the programs. So even though you have not watched it, you are and read it, you are...
Maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
In between, you were...
No, actually I didn't, but I was just thinking back to, you know, David Koresh, Waco.
Right.
Who can forget that scene of that fireball there? And I mean,
I remember it.
Is that
yeah.
Christian? I don't know.
It could lead to a whole talk about the government. Why didn't they pick him up when he goes to the post office every day? But anyway, regardless of that very good point there, Rachel Sutherland joining us from Fox News Radio. Still trying to recover from calling you Grinnell Scott as we move along at 580KIDO.
And, I don't mind, Kevin.
And visions of you roller skating with your tablet, keeping up with all the shows.
It's on my Twitter page. You should just go over there. You can see it.
Yes, we will. We'll give you a
at
follow.
At Sutherland Fox.
Yeah, at Sutherland Fox. There, you know, this is we might as well go to the Oscar talk after this. But does this help clarify the message, considering he hit all the Sunday shows and he was the talk of the town?
Well, you know, he was the talk of the town, and you know. But as far as this idea of ISIS, we have this new threat from a different group talking about targeting malls in America, and then we have this battle here on Capitol Hill. The Senate's going to take up legislation today that would fund the Homeland Security Department as long as the president's executive actions on immigration are rolled back. So we have just mere days until the Department of Homeland Security could technically run out of money. Now then we have to also remember that a lot of these, well, most of the employees at the Department of Homeland Security would simply go to work without pay, and that would kind of stink for them, but, you know, it's not like all of a sudden screenings are going to go away at airports.
Hey, better them than us.
Well, yeah. But still, we don't want our Homeland Security, the people who are the front lines for our safety, really going, I think a lot of people would be concerned about them going without pay, or potentially that the Homeland Security wouldn't be fully staffed. And there are even Republicans who are also joining that side.
Rachel, how much do they love the country? They should be willing to take a few for the team. But now, one more quick question. So was it roller skating or roller blading?
It was roller skating, yeah.
Oh, at a rink and all that.
An old-fashioned skating rink. It was great fun, and I'm a little sore today because I'm not used to that kind of activity. That combined with the snow shoveling that we were doing over the weekend. Yeah.
Well, it's a high of 50 today here.
Well, enjoy.
Yeah. Well, we will do that for you. I will. I'll try and get out the skateboard for you.
Awesome.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks.
Our friend Rachel Sutherland. You know, and Ray Amaya, that's a good point that you bring up to me. That's not the worst one I've ever done. Do you remember the one where I did, where it was Simon Owen, and I called him Alistair Wanklin? Now, that was a good one. So when you're thinking of having a bad Monday, and I have we'll talk about this when we talk to Grinnell Scott. I have a weakness for him. When you work with someone, and I go, oh, great, we're going to get Grinnell on. And Rachel Sutherland, look, she's our favorite, but... shouldn't we get to something important? Yes, you're right. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Big gun march over the weekend. Our friends with the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance, they were out. Over 300, perhaps even almost 400 people were at the state capitol on Saturday talking about the Second Amendment issues. And we've talked about that with both sides, with Senator Hagedorn, with Greg Pruitt. And I don't even know if there's really both sides of the legislation. You know, I think Senator Hagedorn has some points when he talks about you've got to go through the process. We all know how much we admire Greg Pruitt for what he's done on a grassroots level. So when you think about this, you think about a gun bill. And, you know, which gun bill do you prefer? That's at 580kido.com. The Senate version or the House version. Now, the House version is House Bill 89, complete constitutional carry. You don't need a permit. You don't need anything else. You just go and you conceal and carry. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, Kevin, and remember, we had Sheriff Rainey on earlier this morning and last week saying that what about criminals? What about bullies? What about people that are bad? That the House bill doesn't really address that. And then you've got a guy in Nampa over the weekend accused of pulling a gun. I mean, if this guy had a brain, he'd be dangerous. Apparently, he's accused of pulling a gun in a parking garage. And people that are against the Second Amendment are going to sit back and say, see, this guy's running wild. Of course, the criminals don't really respect the laws. What I would like to see is, again, I'd like to see this state be the most gun-friendly state in the country. And hopefully both sides will come together and we can have some good gun bills. 6:15 with Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's continue on here. But when you hear about a man threatening somebody else in a parking garage, does this influence you when it comes to Second Amendment safety, when it comes to big issues of relevance, when it comes to the fact of being able to protect your family? You know, I was reading somewhere where I think it was on Facebook, and if it's on Facebook, it must be true, that somebody was, in their home sleeping, and somebody came up and broke into their house. The husband grabbed a gun and chased him out. Now, the big issue is, and this is very serious, is that when you, in fact, pull your weapon, you have to be prepared to use it. Because as police will tell you and other people will tell you, that if you pull your gun out and try and threaten people, some people believe that you're not going to shoot. And do you have the discipline, without the training, without the backing, without the support, to use deadly force? When it comes to protecting your life, I would say yes. By the way, we've had people on this program that have used their Second Amendment rights to stop crimes happening. In the Treasure Valley, it happens. And I believe it comes down to your sense of empowerment and how comfortable you feel with the weapon. And so we'll start with this at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Do you believe that there should be training required to conceal and carry? Now, remember, in Idaho, you can walk around and open carry without any training. You can't do that in Texas. You can't do that in Illinois. You can't do that in a lot of places. But in Idaho, you can walk around and open carry without any training. Does the government, in your opinion, have the right to require you, and we're not talking about you because you're responsible, but you've seen people with their droopy drawers, you've seen people that, you know, have multiple body art on them, and maybe they're, and look, taking nothing away from them, but there are some people with the body art on that are not responsible, and there's some that are. But the point I'm being, you've seen a lot of goofs. Maybe a coworker, where you look at that guy or gal and think, how does this person survive? Should they be required to get firearms training? 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. That's really the difference in the bills. You've got the other bill that you can conceal carry outside of the city limits. In fact, from what I understand, it is backed by the NRA, and the other bill, the House bill, is backed by the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. But when you're out, and let's face it, you've had a great weekend. The weather here has been incredible. Personally, I'm so angry I bought a bunch of hoodies, and I can't wear them because the weather is so good. But that's my own issues. But for your own comfort level, when you're at a soccer game, a kid's soccer game, a basketball game, a church event, are you comfortable with someone openly carrying? Are you comfortable with someone concealing and carrying without any type of training? Others will call it government sanctioning. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. 619, let's get you to work safely.
Len Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you for starting your day with us, 580 KIDO. Coming up, some want to raise the minimum wage here in Idaho. We'll talk about that, plus your thoughts on the Second Amendment rally over the weekend, over 350 people there saying they want a hearing for House Bill 89. We'll get to that in a minute.
They do sound angry, Keith Ellison. But, you know, the point that Marco Rubio was making there, and I guess the point that Scott Walker was trying to make, is that there does seem to be a little bit of a double standard here. The Republicans tend to get asked these questions about their outliers more than Democrats are.
Oh, I don't agree with that. You know, people are always being asked about what somebody else said. But I can tell you this. The president definitely is a great lover of America. I mean, so much so that 11 million Americans got health care who never had it before. That's pragmatic love of country when you do things for your countrymen and women. So I don't know. I think that the president's an amazing patriot and one of the best presidents I think our country's ever will ever have seen.
There you have it. Keith Ellison, the Democrat from Minnesota that got sworn in on the Koran. Rudy Giuliani's comments continue to be echoed. Now, it's interesting that Giuliani makes these comments, and I've never heard the president talk about our great nation. I've heard him talk about our nation being flawed. I've heard him talk about slavery. I've heard him talk about the perils of Christianity. I've heard him talk about Jim Crow, but I've never heard him be very inspirational. Oh, yeah, in 08 when he was running. But besides that, and then you have the president calling George Bush unpatriotic for doing deals with China, which were minute compared to what we have today. I love how the pointy head intellectuals try and marginalize us when they say angry. Talk to the veterans. Talk to the people that have lost their health care. Talk to insurers. Talk to people that have seen their wages drop. Yeah, they have a right to be angry. Look, we have an administration that will not even call ISIS ISIL or radical Islam or anything else. And by the way, I'm sure it's free. You can Google that Atlantic story where they go in depth and say, yes, ISIS is Islamic, going back to the very roots of what is written in the Quran, where you have crucifixions, where you have phony Muslims must die. Now, again, the majority of the folks that are Muslim reject those things. However, ISIS is true to the readings. It's in the Atlantic, not a conservative publication. And yet we have our guys refusing to call it radical Islam. Our guys basically saying, look, there's some bad people out there. They're using their religion, but we shouldn't profile. How can we beat this enemy that has no problem calling us out?
These terrorists are desperate for legitimacy. And all of us have a responsibility to refute the notion that groups like ISIL somehow represent Islam, because that is a falsehood that embraces the terrorist narrative.
How about radical Islam? Is it asking so much for the president of the United States to call them radical Islams?
The notion that the West is at war with Islam is an ugly lie. And all of us, regardless of our faith, have a responsibility to reject it.
We do have a responsibility to reject it. We also have a responsibility to call it what it is, right? And do you think that these terrorists are not empowered because we're trying to be politically correct? Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Some great polls. Our poll question today at 580KIDO.com. Which gun bill do you support? The Senate bill, the House bill, Mr. Bill? That's at 580KIDO.com. And then there's a column I penned, How to Save Gowan Field. It's about 500 words. I'd love for you to check it out. And it talks about what the politicians didn't tell us. You know, we had this great, great kumbaya pep rally last week at the Boise Airport. Why didn't they have it in front of an A-10? You know, why not have it in front of an A-10 instead of at the Boise Airport? Okay. I guess it's, you know, it's fun to hang out with the TSA. They're nice, friendly folks. But why not go in front of an A-10 and say, look, we're going to support and protect the A-10. You might have heard the governor saying, well, the A-10's going away. We need something new. And then I don't know where the press picked up the F-35, but if you check out that column, How to Save Gowan by Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.com, I break down what the politicians didn't tell you and what the press did not either have the background or courage to report. 6:30 at 580 KIDO.
Duplex fire in Boise.
The call for the fire came in a little before 1 o'clock.
To have wage equality once and for all and equal rights for women in the United States of America.
It's been off and on. I had a couple of spin outs here and there.
A one-day ticket to Disney World is now $105.
It is pretty cold this morning.
It's just another manic Monday.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And as you heard there, the Oscars last night, best picture going to Birdman. Everybody very happy about that. But, you know, let me just share with this with you before we get to the Idaho minimum wage.
Acting is a noble profession.
You're the last face I will recall.
To have wage equality once and for all and equal rights for women in the United States of America.
White dresses with blue satin sashes, the flakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes.
Please welcome to the stage my very dear friend, Glom Gazingo.
I deserve that, darling. My beautiful, my wickedly talented Idina Menzel.
You got it!
One day. When the glory comes, it will be ours.
Look, it's great to be here. Who am I kidding? This is just great fun. Thank you very much.
Oscar.
Oscar could lead to living 5 years longer.
Oh.
There we have it from the Oscars last night. Gone are the days of John Wayne and... John Wayne. That's the only thing I can say. I'm sitting there taking a look at this because it's so silly, so ridiculous. Then you have, what is it, Neil Patrick Harris, Doogie Howser nonetheless, laying the smack down, running around in his, what is it, his Fruit of the Looms, his Hanes or what have you. And, what is the family friendliness of that? Doogie Howser, I don't get it. By the way, Birdman winning the best picture, here's what the director had to say.
Worst English-speaking guy here. Maybe next year the government will inflict some immigration rules to the academy. Two Mexicans in a row, that's suspicious, I guess. I want to thank so many people that I've...
There we have it. So the Oscars have become even more political, and let's jump into the immigration debate. Coming up, we'll take a look at Rudy Giuliani's comments. He's not backing down. And by the way, at 580KIDO.com, do you back Giuliani? Should he apologize? Is the president the best ever? Vote now at 580KIDO.com. I'll share with you those results coming up. But... you know, the other day we had our reluctant Capitol Hill correspondent, Representative Matt Erpelding on. And, you know, when we have Representative Erpelding on, he's a Democrat. He's proud of his Democratness, and we're proud to have him on, proving that this program is a big tent program. And yet, here I found out that right when, as soon as he was done with us, he starts talking about a bill that he's trying to champion to raise the minimum wage here in Idaho. Now, Channel 7 had this a couple months ago, so much so that Scott Evans, who's now in Wichita, is actually on this report. But we'll use that to open this segment at Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Is it time to raise the minimum wage in Idaho?
Dish in downtown Boise, business is good.
Oh, okay.
Co-owner Jared Couch is one of many small business owners who fear raising the minimum wage could negatively impact his business.
We'd have to make sure that we take a look at our costs of doing business, and it would translate into higher prices eventually.
Senator Michelle Stennett is one of three Democrats working on a bill that would begin the conversation of increasing the state minimum wage, currently at $7.25 an hour.
It's baby steps. We have to start the dialogue. We have to start the conversation.
She says the wage is just a small part of the conversation to improve the economy. While there is no number yet on what what she wants to see the minimum wage increase to. She says it will probably be under $10.
We can't keep the people that are skilled here, and we need to do something about that to make sure the people can earn a living wage, raise their kids here, be here, and we're not doing that right now.
Now, cut the tape there, Sweet William, for a minute. Now, it's interesting. You have Senator Stennett championing the minimum wage, and then you have our own Capitol Hill correspondent, Representative Erpelding, who apparently was introducing this, the House version of it, and he didn't disclose that to us last Friday. We're very upset with him. Shame, shame. However, think about this. Notice the rhetoric there, where she's talking about that, you know, we're losing young people, and we need to raise it like Seattle and Oregon and all these other states. Washington. Is that going to solve our problem? And let's face it, you and I both know that the fix is in. Whether we want to admit it, no one else will admit it. That's why I'm with you, and one day I will be gone, because we tell the truth. Even if it will detrimentally impact my livelihood. And I say that with all due respect, but my job is to make some folks uncomfortable. Will Idaho ever raise the minimum wage? In my opinion, no. Because, as we've seen with politics and business, we have a very powerful business consortium that runs this state. And it's been very successful for a lot of those folks. They've done very well. And you take a look at the growth. This area expected to double in the next 20 years. Not many folks, not many geographic areas in the United States can say that. And would they allow the minimum wage to go up? I don't see it, number one. Number two, at 580-5436, raising the minimum wage sounds good if you're making minimum wage. And I'm not judging people. I'm not going to be one of those people that say, hey, blah, 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 get a real job and anything like that. This is Kevin Miller, post-humility, post-being fired. I understand what it's like, at least as much as I can. But you take a look at it from the business owner's perspective and what these politicians, and coming up, the master of progressivism, David Adler from Boise State, used to be at the U of I. He's going to talk about the need to do this. On the other hand, you talk to most small business owners, and what are they going to tell you? They can't afford it, and B, they're going to have to raise prices. So wouldn't the minimum age wage being, you can tell it's Monday here, being raised, be negated, thank you, Sweet William, for the fact that you're raising wages, and then they have to raise prices. So how do we make this happen? I think you attract maybe companies like Chobani. And I'm glad that they're in Twin Falls. I wish they were here. Look, I don't get paid to represent Twin Falls. I get paid to represent the Treasure Valley. So this is our area. You know, we talk about other good jobs. But it's up to the industry to do that, isn't it? Not the government. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Do you buy it's time to raise the minimum wage here in Idaho?
Andrews Center for Public Policy at Boise State University Director David Adler agrees this conversation needs to be had.
Of course he does.
He says 31,000 Idahoans currently make minimum wage. That's 7.3% of the population, the highest percentage in the country.
That's a very dubious distinction.
He compares Idaho's economy to Washington's, which has the highest minimum wage in the country.
You see the sharp contrast in terms of quality of life enjoyed by Idahoans and their neighbors to the west.
Back at the dish.
I don't really get that. You take a look at Washington. They have a bigger population pool. They have a major city. They have Boeing. They have a lot more infrastructure. Of course, they have a lot more stress, right?
Which is all for paying people more, but it comes with a price.
I would think, yeah, that prices would go up. You know, if you pay people more, you got to charge more.
That's what it comes down to. You pay people more, you have to charge more. And quite frankly, you know, there are reasons why there is a minimum wage. You just have to go back to the Gilded Age, the rise of the labor unions in this country, and you could have people, well, I don't think there should be a minimum wage. You'd have people making $2 an hour. There is a reason for the minimum wage, but the idea to raise it artificially, I think you're going to drive businesses out of the Gem State. 580KIDO, we go to good old LS, that's Liberal Steve with Kevin Miller.
Good morning, Mr. Miller. You know, ever since inflation has taken place, which has been ever since capitalism came in the 50s and they started like Christianity, hey, minimum wage has never changed a thing. Never. Never changed a thing. Yeah, we pay more. We pay a little bit more for small businesses that are really small that up their minimum wage. Yeah, but we're willing as citizens to take care of our neighbors rather than those people. They're our neighbors. And there are our friends and families. Yeah, minimum wage needs to go up. It's never changed a thing. Nobody ever spouts a thing when Congress, the House, the Senate all give themselves inflation raises constantly, constantly. They never say a thing. Nobody gets in front of the Capitol when they want to raise gas to where the poor here in Idaho, which is the majority of Idaho, can't afford it. Then they put themselves in further and further and further debt just so they can drive to their minimum wage job. You know, it's getting pathetic. And in
you know, this is very good.
No, wait a minute. I'm
this is very good as far as your emotionalism and everything else. Logically, if you raise the minimum wage, you're going to raise prices. That will be negated. Case in point, doesn't pay to raise the minimum wage.
How many times has minimum wage been raised in the United States?
How many times has it been raised under your great president?
15 times under every president. It's never changed a thing. Same with the Affordable Care Act.
Has it been raised under President Obama? No.
It's going to be.
Sure it is.
Yeah, it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen because they need it.
You know something? I don't see it happening. You're getting emotional, and I appreciate that, but logically. Now, a lot of people.
I'm getting emotional.
Why is your voice raised?
Because I'm trying to get.
Okay, well, here, take a breath. Take a breath. You take a breath and I'll take a breath. Let's have a conversation.
Okay.
Okay. You are a successful businessman, right? A lot of people don't know that about you. They think you're a goof, right? You have made a lot of money in your life.
Hey, success isn't money, Kevin.
Just answer the question.
Okay.
Okay. So from a logical business perspective, if you raise it to 8 to 9 to 10, and I'm for everybody making as much money as possible, prices are going to go up because your costs have gone up, right? You're a business guy.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But nobody said a thing about the union strike on the barges all across the West Coast and everything that drove prices and drove our stock market crazy. And now they have to dump all that dead produce. Nobody said anything about that. Not a thing.
What does that have to do with minimum wage in Idaho?
That's going to cost us for 10 years compared to what the minimum wage would cost.
You're doing the circular argument here. You're not going to address my statements, are you? Why don't you just go back to yelling at me for 30 seconds? Maybe that'll be more entertaining.
Can I ask you one question?
What is this? Ask Kevin Miller?
Why do they have affordable in front of the Affordable Care Act? Because it's not affordable.
Why are you talking about something totally unrelated? I think I failed the audience because obviously the topics that I'm introducing are not working today. Of course, I can't even get the Fox News reporter right who we're talking to. I'm glad I didn't call you Tea Party Bob the way I'm going today.
Well, you didn't let me finish. It all ties together with the minimum wage and everything else.
I think you're finished.
It all ties in together.
I think you're finished.
See, they knew it was coming. The baby boomers are coming.
You're finished. 6:51, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
We're a very strong believer that local control and local organizations that are supposed to help public education partner with public education on their own terms. And that means superintendents, principals, and teachers having control over the destiny of their kids.
That's Dan Cardinale. In the coming weeks, as Congress rewrites the No Child Left Behind Act, The nation's leading dropout prevention organization is addressing that legislation will include funding and strategies needed to help these kids stay in school, not only stay in school, but to sit back and actually fund these unfunded mandates. It's very easy for the politicians to talk about no child left behind and schools are failing. Gosh, we hear a lot about that here, don't we? On the other hand, where's the money? And quite frankly, local control, and that's what we see when we have issues concerning Common Core, No Child Left Behind, school funding. As the legislature continues to take a look at that, we will as well. And I urge everybody that if you have questions about what's going on, go to your schools. They pride themselves on being an open book, and if you have issues, talk to the administration. Talk to the PTA, right? It is 6:58, time for traffic now on this Monday morning. Kevin Miller with you at 580. Heck, it was one of the greatest moments in history, never mind sports history. The Miracle on Ice, can you believe how many years ago it was? The Miracle on Ice, 35 years ago yesterday, we beat the Russians. What a great moment. Stay with us, Kevin Miller.